Bruchim Aboim, and welcome everybody to part two in our series, which we have entitled Knowing What We Had and Feeling What We've Lost. And I think the title really encapsulates everything that we discussed last week. And we explained that although it's a general principle in all of our Avodas Hashem, but it's true specifically with regard to Avodas Bein HaMetzorim. And that is, it's absolutely critical that all of our Avodas Hashem is tangible, is real, rather than airy-fairy, esoteric. The more we can relate to it in a very real way, the more meaningful the Avodah is. And you'll remember we discussed many examples. For example, on the Seder night, Lo yomarti elo b'sho'o, sheish matzah u'moror munochim lefonecho. When the matzah and moror is right there in front of you, then that's the time that you can most connect to the Avodah of the Leil HaSeder. We gave many other examples, the Hasaras HaTaba'as of Haman and Achashverosh that was so meaningful and effective because it was real. When Klal Yisrael saw in front of them the pending Gzeira, Lahashmid, Laharig, Ulaabed, that was very real. And that brought about a mass movement of tshuva. So, specifically so, with regard to the Avodah of Bein HaMetzorim, our struggle, and therefore our project, is to ensure that as we lead up to Tisha B'Av, the whole concept of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the Avodah within the Beis HaMikdash, has to be real, has to be tangible. If we didn't see it, and we weren't there, and we're unable to speak to anybody who was there, or anybody who spoke to anybody who was there, so it becomes very distant. Very hard to mourn something and to feel that you're at a loss for something that you can't be honestly say that you remember it or know anything about. So, let me just introduce a Gemara in Sukkah Daf Nun Hei Omad Beis. We know that on the Yom Tov of Sukkot, there are 70 Purim that are sacrificed. 13, 12, 11, etc., etc. And the Gemara says that these 70 Purim are actually keneged the 70 nations of the world, meaning the Goyim. Omar Rab Yechanan. Now listen to these words very carefully. Omar Rab Yechanan, Oy lohem lo oivde koichovim. Woe unto the Goyim. She'ovdu. The Beis HaMikdash has been lost. Ve'ein yoidin ma she'ovdu. And they don't actually see what it is that they don't know what they're lost. Bizman she'Beis HaMikdash kayom mizbeach mechaper alehen. As long as the Beis HaMikdash was around, the Mizbeach acted as an atonement for them. Va'achshav, mi mechaper alehen. Who can possibly act as an atonement for the Goyim? So Rabbi Yochanan is commenting on the fact that, woe unto the Goyim, they've lost the Beis HaMikdash, they no longer have the Shivim Parim, which are acting as an atonement for them. And isn't the obvious question on that Gemara, woe unto the Goyim? Woe unto Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael lost much more than the Goyim did. Albeit the Goyim had their Shivim Umois, but the Jewish nation had everything. Had Korbonos every day. Had the Keteres, had the Menorah, had the Lechem Aponim. And all of that was lost. So why is it that Rabbi Yochanan only expressed this in terms of woe unto the Goyim? And the answer is, so why did Rabbi Yochanan only express this in terms of Oy lohem lo'iv de'kechavim, woe unto the Goyim, as if the Goyim have had to endure a very severe loss. Klal Yisrael lost much more. And the answer is, Rabbi Yisai, this is our Yesoid. Rabbi Yochanan says, Oy lohem lo'ivdei keichovim, why? She'ovdu ve'ein yoidin ma she'ovdu. They don't know what they've lost. The goyim never appreciated the Beis HaMikdash in the first place. And if they don't appreciate the Beis HaMikdash, then clearly, when it got taken away, they're not lacking it. In fact, they were the very ones in the first place who brought about its destruction. Says Rabbi Yochanan, therefore, Klal Yisrael, although it's true they've endured a much greater loss, but at least they appreciate their loss. They realize the value of the Beis HaMikdash. They understand what it is that they've lost, and that's why they are mourning the Beis HaMikdash, and if they're mourning the Beis HaMikdash, it could be restored. But the goyim, avdu ve'ein yoidin ma she'avdu. They don't know what they've lost. And when you don't know when you've lost, that's even more tragic. That's even more tragic. 3 years ago, just before Tisha B'Av, a tragedy struck our community here in Beit Shemesh. And that was, there was a young man in Ramah Aleph who passed away at an early age, his early 40s, I believe, and left an almona and yesoimim. I didn't know the family, not the nifter, not the wife, not the children, but I did know the brother of the nifter. So I went to be Menachem Oval, I went to the Shiva. And as you can imagine, it's a very tragic scene to come in, to have to see an almona, and to have to see brothers and children sitting Shiva. But do you know what the most tragic picture that I saw was? When I left the house outside the front door, there was a little 3-year-old, the son of the nifter, who was playing his Lego. That was the most tragic scene. Because he doesn't know what he's lost. And for this young little boy, enjoying his Lego with a smile across his face, that was the tragedy. Avdu ve'ein yoidin ma she'avdu. He's lost. He's lost his father. The tragedy is he doesn't realize what he's lost. That's more tragic still. I think it is well known that after the Six-Day War here in Eretz Yisrael in 1967, when the coastal was recaptured for the first time in many, many years and thousands upon thousands of Klal Yisrael were able to descend towards the coastal and daven there for the first time in many, many decades. And part of the security arrangement there, there were two soldiers, irreligious, watching the scene unfold in front of their eyes as hundreds and thousands made their way to daven. B'mokim beis mikdoshenu, very emotional scenes, moving moments, as you can imagine. And one of these soldiers, watching, burst into tears himself. And his friend says to him, I don't understand. You're an irreligious Jew. You don't daven anyway. All of the Jews that we see in front of us, apparently prayer and this particular place of prayer is very meaningful to them. So I understand why they're crying and why they are so emotional. But for you, why are you crying? You don't pray anyway. And his friend turned around to him and says, I'll be honest, I don't really know why you're supposed to cry. And that's why I'm crying. That's precisely why I'm crying. I don't know what it was that was taken in the first place, and I don't know what it was that was restored. Avdu ve'ein yoidin ma she'avdu. And that's why we undertook this project, our 3-week project, to make sure that we chas v'sholom are not like the goyim described in the Gemara. Avdu. It's true, we've endured a loss, but we know what we've lost. And if we don't, we're going to make it our project over these weeks, to the best of our ability, to find out what it is that we lost. So that come Tisha B'Av, we will not be crying a Bechia Shel Chinom. Just superficial tears if at all. But rather, this will be meaningful for us. It's only the goyim who are avdu ve'ein yoidin masha avdu. So we will, Be'ezah Hashem, having made that introduction predominantly last week, will spend today, just for a few moments, and also next week, trying, let's get inside, as it were, the Beis HaMikdash. Let's picture the scene to see what happened on a day-to-day basis in the Beis HaMikdash, the Avodas HaKorbanos, and Amitz Hashem, next week, the final part in this series, we'll examine a little bit what it was like when Klal Yisrael were Oyle Regel. Why are we splitting it up into these two parts, the Avodah of the Korbanos and Aliyah LeRegel? And the answer is because those two functions were indeed the entire Tachlis of the Beis HaMikdash. If you look at the very opening words of the Rambam in Hilchas Beis HaBechira, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, and I quote, Mitzvahs Asei Lasois Bayis Lashem. There is a mitzvah in our Torah to make a home, an abode, as it were, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For what purpose, says the Rambam? Two purposes. Makrivim boi korbonois, number one. V'choygegin eilov shalosh pa'omim bashono. Aliyah l'regel, three times a year. Shenema v'osuli mikdosh. So the Rambam quite clearly defines for us that the function, the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was twofold. Number one, Avodas HaKorbanos. Number two, three times a year to be Oyle Regel. So that's the way we too will split it up today. Just for a few moments, we will examine Hakravas Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. And next week, the Shalosh Pa'omim Vashana, that we were Oyle Regel. We have to the best of our ability, try and picture in our minds what it was like to enter the Beis HaMikdash. A mokum of Kedusha, a mokum of Nisim, as we'll soon describe, a mokum in which it was impossible to enter and leave unchanged. I'd like to share with you, if I may, the most phenomenal interpretation of a Medrash by the Ponovitcher Rav. The Medrash tells us, this is the Medrash in Parshas Toldos, that at the time of Churban Bayis, the Goyim were too afraid to enter the Beis HaMikdash. They also knew a little bit what the Beis HaMikdash was all about and who they were starting up with. So instead of sending one of their own, they sent one of Klal Yisrael, somebody whose name was Yosef Meshisa. And they told this Yosef Meshisa, go into the Beis HaMikdash and take out whatever you please. This Yosef Meshisa, clearly a rather unsavory character, no great tzaddik, went into the Beis HaMikdash and he took out nothing else than the Menorah Shel Zohov. The Menorah which the Kohen Gadol had to light every day, Yosef Meshisa came out holding this Menorah. The Goyim were unimpressed and they said, no, that's not good enough. We want you to go in now for a second time and take out something else. And he refused. He refused. They said to him, we will pay you 3 years of tax exemption if you re-enter the Beis HaMikdash. And he refused. And he said, it's bad enough that I angered my God first time, but I should do so now again, second time. They began to torture him and afflict him. And he refused. And he said, Oi, oi, Sheikh Asti Laboiri, how could it be that I angered my Creator? I will not re-enter for a second time. That's the end of the Medrash. As we read this Medrash, what's the obvious question? What happened in 30 seconds? just a few seconds prior to this, he seemed more than happy to enter the Beis HaMikdash, and not only that, he took out the Menorah. All of a sudden he became such a tremendous Baal Tshuva. Chas v'shalom that I should rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You seemed more than happy to do so a minute ago. What happened to him in 30 seconds? Says the Ponovitch Rav, Dovar Nifla B'yosa. What was the difference between now and a minute ago? Because a minute ago he hadn't yet experienced what it was like to be in the Beis HaMikdash. But once he had entered the Beis HaMikdash, he could not fail to feel a tremendous chizuk, to be uplifted, to feel the hashbah of the Kedusha in the Beis HaMikdash, even though he was only there for a matter of seconds, that could not fail to influence him, and indeed it did. And that's why he said, having gone into the Beis HaMikdash once, I refuse to do it again. It's true. I was more than happy to do so a minute ago, but that was before I had experienced what it was like to be in the Beis HaMikdash. But having experienced it, I'm a changed person in 30 seconds. A quite phenomenal interpretation of the Ponovitch Rav. We all, without any exception, have moments in our life when we can connect, when we feel uplifted. Let's picture in our minds those exhilarating moments at the end of Yom Kippur Ne'ilah. Did anybody at the end of Ne'ilah, as those last moments of Yom Kippur are ebbing away, and we cry out with all our might, Hashem Hu Elohim, did anybody at that moment suddenly have a taiva to speak Lashon Hara? Did anybody at that moment have a taiva to be over an Aveira? It's not that we don't, rather we can't. How can you not feel the Kedusha of Yom HaKippurim? So we all know what it means to experience moments of exhilaration, spiritual exhilaration. We try, to the best of our ability, to hang on to those moments, but they ebb away. And they dissipate, and we have to wait till next year, Yom Kippur, till it comes about again. But sometimes, during the course of the year, we are able to experience those moments once again, an uplifting tefillah, a very moving melody. It moves us, it elevates us. But when we had the Beis HaMikdash, these were not moments that happened once a year. The Beis HaMikdash could be entered at any time. 3 times a year it was mandatory. But you could enter the Beis HaMikdash. And as the Ponovitch Rav explained, it was impossible to emerge unchanged. It was impossible to emerge not still feeling that elevation. 3 years tax exemption. Serious affliction and torture could not move Yosef Mashisa again to re-enter the Beis HaMikdash and Chas V'Shalom be moired neged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Beis HaMikdash, as mentioned before, as the Rambam lays down for us, was primarily a place in which there was Hakrovas Korbonis. I think the word Korban is one of the most grossly mistranslated words in the English language. Korban is invariably translated as a sacrifice, which not only misses the point of a korban, but it's actually the opposite of what a korban is supposed to be. Imagine if I said to you, listen, I'm prepared to sell you my apartment. How much will it cost? $5,000, and then it's yours. Would anybody view that as a sacrifice? Would anybody view that as, look what I had to give up on? For $5,000 you own an apartment? It's a bargain. Why do we call a korban a sacrifice? A sacrifice is this Look what we had to give up on. A korban kishmoy kein hu. Miloshen korov. Kirva. That's what it is. When a person is over an avera, the Rambam describes for us in Hilchas Tshuva that he becomes distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he's chayzer b'tshuva, which again, tshuva means to return, that's exactly what it is, having been distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then one brings a korban and one becomes korov once again. Gedoyla tshuva, says the Rambam, shemakareves es ha'odom l'shchino. A person is over an avera, he becomes meruchuk, says the Rambam. V'hayoyim, and now that he's chayzer b'tshuva, hu ohuv v'nechmod korov v'yedid. You become once again korov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's exactly what korbanos are all about. That feeling that we sometimes have of feeling distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, steeped in our averes, stuck into a rut. So then we can miss the Beis HaMikdash, because in the Beis HaMikdash, you had that feeling of kirva. Va'ani kirva selokim litoiv. How indeed do I become korov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, having become distanced through the korbanos? In fact, we all know the pasuk in Tehillim, Yefei noif, mesois kol ha'aretz. Mesois is a lashon of sasein, v'simcha. Why is the Beis HaMikdash described as a mokim of simcha, says the Medrash? U'bameh hoya mesois kol ha'aretz. What was the great simcha of the Beis HaMikdash? Hoya odom oiver aveira. Hoya doyeg beliboy. He was full of worry and fret. What would be with me? He felt a feeling of elation, exhilaration. And he left the Beis HaMikdash ecstatic. That's the Mesos Kol Ha'aretz, and that's what we don't have. Let's picture the scene. Somebody was making their way up to Yerushalayim, towards the Har HaBayis, the Beis HaMikdash, and he would see others in the street, all moving in the same direction. Who were these people? Who was it on a regular day to day? Not being Oyla Rega, where it was all of Klal Yisrael. Who was it on a regular day of the week who was making their way, together with him, to the Beis HaMikdash? It was either somebody who had been over in Avera, and was now on the way to the Beis HaMikdash to bring a korban to serve as a kapara. Or, perhaps it was somebody who was bringing a korban toida. He had been saved miraculously, and he was feeling overwhelming hagoshes of akoras hatoiv. Im al toido yakrivenu. So you can imagine the atmosphere of those approaching the Beis HaMikdash. There were those who were walking with their head hanging low, b'koyved rosh, with yiras shomayim, with regret for what they had done, with a tremendous desire to come close to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam once again, together with those who were overwhelmed with a different type of feeling, of hakaras hatov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An extra special atmosphere that was as you made your way into the Beis HaMikdash. One entered through the eastern side of the Beis HaMikdash. One made one's way throughout the length of what was called the Ezras Noshim. You went up 15 stairs and then you entered the Ezras Yisrael, which was on the eastern side of the Azara. So even if you are not a Kohen, you would stand there in the Ezras Yisrael, having gone up the 15 stairs, a picture of grandeur, and you would watch the scene unfold in front of your eyes. From where you were standing, you had a tremendous vantage point. you could see the Mizbeach. You could in fact see the Mizbeach upon which all the Korbanos were sacrificed. You would look to your right, that was the Tzofoin, that's where the Shechita of the Korbanos took place. You would see the person who is the Baal HaKorban would first have to utter vidui. He would rest his hands on the head of the Korban, and he would look towards the west, the Heichal, the Kodesh Kodshim, and he would utter a vidui me'oimek liboy. We can relate to this, but only in a very shallow way. We all say vidui when it comes to Yom Kippur, or on Slichos, but can you imagine how much more meaningful this would be to say vidui, and you actually are standing in the Beis HaMikdash. You see the Koyanim being makrib karbonos, you see the Shechita, you see the Kabbalah, you see the Halacha, you see the Zrikas of the Dam. Can you imagine the atmosphere of tens of people on any given day are all there in tears, pouring their hearts out to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in vidui, chotosi, ovisi, poshati, oshamnu, bogadnu, gozalnu, how I am overcome with regret, how distanced I feel from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, but here's my opportunity to become korev once again. Those of us who are able on occasion to go to the Mokim HaMikdash, the Kosel HaMaravi, we all feel to an extent that regesh the Kedusha. But how much more it must have been to actually be standing on the other side, watching the Avodas HaKorbanos on a day-to-day basis. We understand what the Ponovitch HaRav means. It was impossible to leave there unmoved. You entered as one person, but you exited a different person altogether. And that's what we do not have at the moment. Chazal tell us, the Mishnah in Avos, that there were 10 miracles every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. Every single day. You could enter the Beis HaMikdash and you would see concurrently 10 Nisim Geluyim. Even though there was an enormous amount of Bosar from the Korbanos, but there was no Isha Me'uberes, the pregnant woman never ever had to abort. Nobody was Mapil, even though it would be normal to do so with that type of stench. There was never a fly in the Beis HaMikdashim. We all know, now especially in the hot weather, you leave a piece of meat out in your kitchen, within seconds there'll be flies. There were thousands and thousands of kilograms of meat in the Beis HaMikdash, not a fly to be seen. The Kohen Gadol, on the main day of the year of Yom Kippur, never became tamei. Nes Galui. The rain never extinguished the flame of the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't say there wasn't rain. There was rain, but it didn't extinguish the flame. As the smoke emerged from the fire on top of the Mizbeach, it went up in a totally straight vertical pillar. The wind could not push it to either side. There was never a psul in the Korbanos. Even though they were tightly packed, thousands of people, but when they came to bow down, all of a sudden they had four amas on each side. Miraculous. Nobody ever said, Tzar li hamokoim sha'olin b'Yerushalayim. They may well have been millions of people, but nobody ever complained that it was too tight for them, it was too squashy. The Chosid Yaivetz, not to be confused with Rabbi Yaakov Emden, who asked for him the Sheilas Yaivetz. The Chosid Yaivetz, who lived at the time of the Spanish expulsion, in his explanation to this Mishnah, says a phenomenal comment. All these Eser Nisim, that's the way the world should look like anyway. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a perfect world, not the imperfect world which we see in front of us. But after mankind was over Averos, the world became distorted. And it became distorted to the extent that when there's meat, there are flies. And when you have a fire, the smoke will blow into your eyes, etc., etc. But not in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was a little microcosm of what the world indeed should look like. So if you wanted to have a look, what indeed is the real picture of the Beis HaMikdash? And the answer is, of the world, enter the Beis HaMikdash. See the Asara Nisim and understand this is the perfect world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Just perhaps, Bederech Remez, what does that mean there was no fly in the Beis HaMikdash? Chazal tell us that the fly is the moshel to the Yetzer Hara. Much as you try and banish it and drive it away, it always comes back. That's the Yetzer Hara. But not in the Beis HaMikdash. Just like on Yom Kippur, Chazal tell us that the Yetzer Hara has no shlita, cannot get the better of us, so too in the Mokim HaMikdash, where there was such absolute clarity of what's Ruchni and what's Gashmi, of what's Rotzen Hashem and what's Neged Rotzen Hashem, there was no Zvuv, there was no Mokim for the Yetzer Hara. The Geshomim, the rain, didn't put out the Eish. Geshomim is Miloshim Geshem Gashmias. The Gashmias did not put out the Ruchni Eish. The Beis HaMikdash was a Mokim of Ruchnias only. There was no Mokim for Geshem and for Gashmias. Nobody ever complained that it was too squashy. Says the Chasam Sofer, it does not say that it was not squashy. It says nobody said it was squashy, because indeed it was. But nobody felt it. Why did nobody feel it? Can you imagine dancing at the wedding of your child? Did anybody complain, ah, this chasna, it's a nice occasion, but it's rather exhausting, all this dancing. Nobody feels that at the wedding of your own child. When you came to the Beis HaMikdash and you felt that kirva yaseiro, it might well have been squashy, but loy omar, nobody felt it. Nobody said, ah, it's true, it's very special to be in Yerushalayim, but it's very squashy. No. Who ever felt that? Who had time to feel that? When you felt this tremendous ruchni exhilaration. These, by the way, were not the only nisim in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that there were others as well. For example, we'll just pick one of them. One of the Nisim, an incredible Nis, a woman who gave birth had to bring a Korban Oif. A Korban Oila. This Oif, the Kohen went up the ramp of the Mizbeach. He went round the side of the Mizbeach that's called the Soivev, which is half the height of the Mizbeach, and there he did what's called Malika. Malika is not Shechita with a knife, Malika is done with the nail of the finger. And the dam was squeezed out on the Mizbeach. But then, a fascinating halacha. Chazal tell us that when you bring a Korban Oila, which is a behemoth does not steal. It eats the food that's given to it by its owner. So what do you do with that Korban Oila? You are makriv the entire Korban on Mizbeach, vehikriv hakoyen es hakoyl. But the oil, as ha'oif, the bird, which flies around and picks up food from here, there, and everywhere, even though it doesn't belong to him. So in the stomach of this bird, there's gezel. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Medrash, I don't want gezel on the Mizbeach. Take out the stomach, what's called the zefik, of this bird, and throw it off the Mizbeach. Vehishlich oisa etzal HaMizbeach. Throw it away from the Mizbeach. That cannot go on the Mizbeach.
Says the Gemara, what happened?
The Kohen on Mizbeach took the stomach of this bird, which was full of food that was stolen, and cast it away. It landed on the floor which was made out of stone, and what happened? Say Chazal, Nivla Bimkoimon. It just got swallowed up miraculously into the ground. The ground was not porous, it was made out of stone. Everybody, can you imagine, standing, watching the Karbonis unfold in front of their eyes, seeing this scene. The one who was bringing this carbon was not far from the Mizbeach. And he watches as the stomach is cast away and swallowed up by the floor. A nes mamash. The Gemara tells us that Shlomo HaMelech and the Beis HaMikdash that he constructed, he planted a tree that produced golden fruit. Nes after nes after nes. This is what the Mokim HaMikdash was, and as we explained, this is what the world should really look like. And of course, and with this we'll finish, the open Nisim that happened on Yom HaKippurim. 40 years, the Gemara says, that Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol. The Soril Hashem always ended up on the right, the Soril HaZazel always ended up on the left. The red thread that was hung up in the Beis HaMikdash turned white at the end of Yom Kippur to ensure and to show that Klal Yisrael have been forgiven. The Ner Ma'arovi was always doilek in the Beis HaMikdash, etc., etc., etc. These were the Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash. This was the Avodah, this was the experience that we would have been experiencing had we been Zeicha to enter the Beis HaMikdash. The Avodah of Korbonis, the atmosphere of Vidui and Kirvas Elohim, the atmosphere of Hoidoya to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a Korban Todah, the open miracles, the inability for Gashmias to overcome Ruchnias in the Beis HaMikdash. It was a mokim of absolute clarity. No room for bilbul or confusion. No wonder Yosef Meshisa, having entered the Beis HaMikdash once, emerged an altogether different person. And this is what we are mourning when it comes to Tisha B'Av. As we said in the beginning, we don't want to be those goyim who Rabbi Yochanan said, Ovdu ve'einam yoidin masha ovdu. We know now a little bit of what it was like to enter the Beis HaMikdash, to experience that spiritual exhilaration of Ani Kirvas Elohim Li Tov. So as we make our way now, during the second week of the Bein HaMetzarim, and we ponder this, and we think about what it is that we had. If we know what we had, then indeed we can feel what we lost. And as we mentioned last time, Kol HaMisabel Al Yerushalayim Zoicha V'Roya B'Simchosa. If we know what we had, we feel what we've lost, and we're then indeed in a position where we can truly mourn Yerushalayim, but precisely it'll be that Avelos that will bring about a restoration of the Beis HaMikdash, Yemitz Hashem, B'mheira, B'yomeinu, Amen.